Tonight we're going to talk about the factors of awakening. They are all governed by the first factor, which is mindfulness. That's why I gave a different guidance at the beginning of tonight's meditation. I was basically walking you through the ways to establish mindfulness. And just like the factors of awakening, the four foundations of mindfulness can either go in order or they just skip around. Do it however it works best for you. But almost everyone begins with mindfulness of the body and the breathing. After that, it goes to mindfulness of what's called feeling, but in Pali, it's Vedana or Vedana. It's when you like or dislike something, or your feeling about it is neutral. Then the mind. And we looked at that when we looked at thoughts arising and passing away and how they made us feel. That brings in the second one of the likes and the dislikes. And then I thought when we had quite a bit of noise outside, it would be a good opportunity to look at the Dharma in our experience, which in that case would be the hindrance of possibly aversion. Or if you really like the sound of screaming children, it would be desire to hear more of it. There are other hindrances, but I'm not going to go into them tonight. What that shows, I hope, is that it's something that kind of comes naturally. That these foundations of mindfulness are accessible to us whenever we meditate. And we can use them. We can use them in the way that works best for us. And the same is completely true of the factors of enlightenment. They're not just for advanced students. They're for everyone. We all have these capacities, and we use them in typical sittings. And by that, I mean the kind of sitting that we have for about half an hour, other places 45 minutes, some 20, whatever. And we also use these factors of enlightenment in our daily life practice. And that is when we make an effort to be mindful as we go through the day. And in my intro class online that I do with Insight Meditation Center, we stress picking some simple task to begin to do mindfully to kind of establish a beachhead, you know, where we can spread out and become mindful of more and more of our daily activities. So once we have established mindfulness of the breath, there's usually some recognition of thoughts and how they make us feel, even if we don't know we're doing that. But I'll come back to this point. It's important to notice that's kind of the key work that we do in meditation, is noticing our experience, you know, paying attention to it, kind of asking the question, what is this? Ah, now this, what is this? So we will notice the body, the first foundation, the feelings, the second one, and the mind, the third one, kind of whether we want to or not. And we will notice the hindrances as the Dharma, when they hit us in the face, basically. When we're so restless that we can't meditate. And that's our mindfulness, to use those foundations to know what our experience is and to try to know it a little more deeply than our usual assumptions. And that depth is what the second factor of enlightenment is. It's investigation. When we're deliberately examining how our thoughts and intentions distort our perceptions of phenomena. You've probably heard the not quite accurate statement that Buddhism believes that life is an illusion. The truth is that the Buddha taught that we are very often deluded about what's going on around us and inside of us because we have developed ideas about what is going on, and we're seeing events through the lens of our ideas rather than seeing the events themselves. So as we use these factors of awakening, we're penetrating through the ideas and seeing them and getting to the point where we can see what's actually going on. This task requires some energy and some effort. And in my practice and my daily life, energy is a big deal. I have a neurological disorder. Over the years, I've learned that if I want to get something done, if I want to figure something out, I have to do it early in the day. And as I age, if I want to remember what I figured out, I have to write it down. So I'm becoming more and more dependent on my notes. We need this energy and this effort to get down to it when we're doing the investigation. And as we get into looking at why a noise irritates us, we start to get interested. Why do I have this attitude? Is it because I think the child shouldn't be there? Do I think that the door should be closed? Or what is it that I'm clinging to? And it starts to get kind of juicy and interesting. And it becomes a self-renewing energy. We start to run on the power of the heart. This energy and effort that we're bringing to the task of investigation lets us guide our attention so that we're looking at important stuff. And it lets us stay on the task so that we can consider what it is we see. So, for example, if we're sitting here and we've had dinner but not dessert, and all of a sudden the thought of chocolate flits through our mind and there's desire, we get to consider why chocolate has such a powerful grip on me. We're using basically one of the steps of the Eightfold Path, and that is wise effort. It is a part of the practice section of the Eightfold Path, where we're turning our attention from thoughts that are harmful to thoughts that are helpful. The next factor of awakening or enlightenment is pleasure. Because where we were hesitant at first to undertake the job of investigation, we're now eager to keep going into the stuff that we dealt with at the beginning of our meditation. Because the hindrances always come up. We're always feeling like, well, I don't really want to be here, or there's doubt, or I'm restless, or sleepy. You know, we have to kind of get through this to establish mindfulness. And now we're looking at more powerful hindrances that we carry with us as we go through life. And there's an experience of a kind of effortlessness that comes in with this pleasure. By and large, it's because we take delight in being relieved of the hindrances. And that suffuses the body and the mind. The intensity of that can vary. It can go from, I'm relaxed and it really feels good, to rapture. I can remember when a close friend of mine first started meditating and lost track of her body. It was very delightful, but it was so strong that it frightened her. And I kind of had to talk her through that, well, you had beginner's luck. And it's very wonderful when you do connect and let yourself sink into that pleasure. So the fifth factor of awakening is serenity. And you can see how that follows. We're letting go of our preferences, our likes and our dislikes. And this doesn't leave us with the dull, sometimes delusion-causing neutral between the like and the dislike. Instead, it's a feeling of freedom in seeing clearly the truth of what is. All of those ideas through which we have filtered our perception of reality, whatever that is, have cleared like clouds from the sky. And it's not so difficult anymore to know what's going on. The pleasure and serenity in intensive practice leads to, or are the harbingers of, concentration. And this is when there is composure and ease of the mind and body. In other words, the body is settled down, and so is the mind. And those thoughts aren't zinging through the mind all of the time. And that leaves us with the unshakable attention to whatever does arise. And it leads into the final factor of awakening, which is equanimity. A non-discriminating vigilance of all sensory phenomena and mental formations. So I like to think of it as unguarded attention. The windows and the doors are all open. Something comes up. It passes through the awareness without any friction. It comes in and it goes. We don't cling to it. We don't push it away. So these factors serve us by themselves and together. If we have equanimity going at 3:30 in the afternoon because we're doing our housework, it's great. And the same with any of the others. If we notice that we're having some kind of strong feeling, we investigate it. Unless, of course, our schedule doesn't permit us that time. But these capacities are all with us always. And we can develop them. We can cultivate them by just noticing, oh, yeah, I'm investigating. I'm intentionally looking into this. And by understanding and having the intent to nurture them in our practice, both in sitting meditation and in daily life. Daily life practice is a great thing to cultivate because most of the stuff that keeps us in that delusion comes up during the day. If we settle down too much during our sitting meditation, we don't have that much to work with, which is fine. There's absolutely nothing wrong with sitting down, meditating, and relaxing, reducing the stress. But there's a lot more we can do with our practice. We can make ourselves happier in the long run, or sometimes right away. Mindfulness is the agent of cultivating these factors of awakening in any situation. We just need that ability to step back from our experience enough to look at it, to look at it with discernment. In preparing for this talk, both the commentaries and the suttas themselves really emphasize the role of heedfulness, paying attention, unguarded and discerning or wise attention. Noticing is also a really big deal, and I gave a Dharma talk about it back in March of this year, in case you want to brush up on that. But I compared noticing this heedfulness to a walk in the woods. It can be very easeful. It doesn't have to be a chore. We just notice what's happening. There are two models of how the factors work together. One is what I've just given you, and that is called the spiral model because they lead into each other. And when you get to equanimity, it just keeps going up over and over. In my experience, this happens most in intensive practice, like on retreat. The spiral still has an interplay of one factor and another out of order. For example, in digging into an investigation, it both takes and generates energy or effort. Even with the spiral, there's a little bit of bleed between the factors. The second model, which I'm going to pass out for you, a diagram of it, is holistic. And that emphasizes the fact that they all work together. And there are some that are arousing. They bring the energy up. They bring things to our attention. And others are stabilizing. They hold them down so that we can understand and cultivate them. Thank you.